Today in our hot seat, we have Frederick Marx, founder and CEO of Keylingo. Hi, Frederick. Good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Frederick. So are you ready? Shall we do this?
I'm so ready.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
Tell us in one sentence, what is it that Keylingo actually does?
We are an LSP that focuses primarily on translation and localization of content in the manufacturing, entertainment, and language access verticals.
Could you tell me if that was a career that you dreamt of having as a kid, to be leading an LSP? Or what was the first career that you dreamt of?
No, absolutely. When I was in elementary school, I knew that founding a language services company was for me. Just kidding. I grew up in a town that was on the ocean, and I was very attracted to the beach and surfing in particular. So the first career that I ever dreamt of was being a professional surfer. Kelly Slater, who is the greatest competitive surfer of all time, was my idol growing up.
Oh, wow. And do you still do that? Do you still surf?
I do, actually. Even though I am based in a state in the U.S. that doesn't have an ocean nearby, I have the great fortune to be able to travel frequently, and the flexibility of leading a language services company that allows you to do that from anywhere. And so I go to a place that I love. We here in the U.S., we say our happy place. And for me, that is a little speck of ocean in Central America, in the country of Costa Rica. And the town is called Nosara, and the beach is called Playa Guiones. And it's known for two things, surfing and yoga.
Nice. Oh. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Maybe we should meet there.
Instead. Yes.
I might be from want to leave, Inga, if you go there.
If you were given a chance to visit three different countries, which ones would you choose and why?
The first one I'll say is Indonesia, because they have a collection of surf spots that are some of the best in the world. And there's a resort there called the Kandui Surf Resort in the Mentawai Islands that is just heaven. You can just go surfing right off the beach or take a boat to any other types of surf spots that have waves for all different surfing levels. The second one would be Thailand, because Thai food is my favorite food. I also am interested by not participating in Muay Thai fighting, which I think is super interesting. And also Buddhist culture really interests me a lot. And the last one is Norway, because I've seen so many beautiful pictures of fjords. I would really love to go and visit those. Also, I've never seen the Northern Lights, and I've never stayed in an ice hotel. And so those are the reasons why I'd like to visit Norway.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I was in college, and I worked for a lawyer who just so happened to be blind. And I would go to his office every day after class, and I would read him the Wall Street Journal and all of his correspondence. There was one day that I showed up late for our meeting, and the door was not only closed, but it was locked. And I was just standing there. I was a young kid in college, surrounded by all these busy lawyers, and just feeling sort of humiliated and nervous. And finally, he let me into his office, and he said, "You know, when you're late, you're communicating to the other person that your time is more valuable than theirs." And I've never been late to anything else again in my life.
Let's crank up the heat in here. So it's very rare that we get actual founders of companies on our show. So I'm really curious to know what inspired you to start your own company.
Right out of college, I knew that going to an office every single day just wasn't for me. I felt like a square peg in a round hole. Also, just working for other people. You know, I have obviously have people working for me now, and I try to be a good boss and a good leader, but it just didn't feel right for me. And then the third reason would be that I just wanted to be able to bet on myself and have control over my own destiny.
What made you choose your vertical market?
Well, our vertical market, I would say more appropriately, chose us. And I think maybe this is a common theme in the language services industry, or at least I would imagine so. When I first founded Keylingo, I had done a lot of research. This was back in before 2004 when I actually started the company. And I had actually identified the legal vertical as one that I really wanted to insert our company into. But we ended up getting a large contract with a large equipment manufacturer that has a large training facility here based in Georgia in the US. And that's what really sort of chose our vertical market for us. And we've been focused on translating, localizing content for equipment manufacturers ever since. And that's our primary vertical market.
After founding your company, what was your first breakthrough? Like the moment you realized that you can make some serious money out of this?
Well, I'll go back to that big contract. Before relationships when I first started the company were more transactional. But this was the first opportunity that we had to really establish a relationship with the company. This particular instance, the company had a large backlog of manuals that needed to be translated because they were expanding into new markets. And it would require at least a year of work. And the company had actually decided to split the opportunity between three different vendors. And I proposed to the company that if after 30 days of work, we demonstrated that we were the best supplier, that they would move 100% of the work to Keylingo. And we achieved that. And so, and they are still a client today.
Earlier, after actually my first question, I think you mentioned that you're trying to be a good leader. So what do you think makes you a good leader? What attributes do you think a good leader should have as well?
All good leaders should follow the mirror and window principle. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but I read this in a Harvard Business Review article many years ago. It basically goes like this. If something good happens in your company, you look out the window and you see that it's not because of you. It's because of people in your organization, people around you that helped make that happen. And if something bad happens, you always look in the mirror because you're the person on the hot seat. So you need to take responsibility and move on and get it fixed, make it right.
What has been maybe a failure, maybe failure is too strong of a word, but a mistake, like a lesson learned along the way? Because I'm sure there have been stumbling blocks, right?
I would say in business, choosing the wrong partners. I received another piece of advice once that there are two ships that you should avoid. They are sinking ships and partnerships. I have made some poor choices around partnerships, but I've learned in 18 years of business and 55 years of life how to handle those a little bit better.
What are the three main things that you spend your time on at work, aside from profitability?
Sure. First and foremost is people. I feel a personal responsibility to my work family to make their lives a little bit better. And it involves a lot of talking, a lot of meeting, choices, strategies, everything. So I spend most of my time on people. The next thing would be the strategy of the company and the execution of that strategy. I think that we're in the building business here and solving problems, and you have to have a strong foundation and then be able to a plan and then execute on that plan. And then third would be learning. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm fascinated by language, culture, people, business, so many things. So I'm always trying to learn new things.
Would you consider yourself a visionary?
I think I'm more of a visionary than an operator. Let's put it that way. I think that I am better at setting the vision and then recruiting people that are smarter than me to help execute that vision. And I am a complete believer in CEOs should never be the smartest person in the room. And if you are, you're in the wrong room. That is something that I definitely live by. And I don't use the E in CEO as executive. In my mind, people that are enthusiastic are like magnets for me. I want to be around them. I want to emulate them. And so right or wrong, I see myself as an enthusiasm officer, not an executive officer.
Do you have a pet peeve when it comes to clients?
As any CEO should say, customers are always right and we love them. But
yeah, I like that.
I would say if I had three pet peeves about clients, one would be unqualified reviewers. The next one, I would say subjective changes. Nothing worse than turning in a term paper and having it come back with a sea of red marks, but none of those red marks actually add any value to the translation. So it just consumes time and resources that it shouldn't. And then the next one, the last one would be saying it's urgent when it's not. So how many times have you in your experience completed an urgent project, and then, I don't know, a week later, there's a communication about, yeah, we're just getting this in the hands of the people that actually need this. And you think to yourself, wow, that would have been great to know when we, you know, we arranged all of the teams, or we were working on the weekend or late at night. So those are my top three.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry today?
I'm glad you used the word young entrepreneurs, because I think it's a young person's game. And I would say start young. I always say at my company that the best ideas at Keylingo are not coming from me. They're coming from the young people in the organization that really are setting the tone. The next one would be hustle. That's a word we use in the in the US a lot. I think it's been added to the dictionary, like the slang dictionary. But in a business context, hustle just means, you know, working super hard, understanding all of the minutiae that goes into running and starting a business. You have to hustle. The next one relates to something we talked about earlier, and that's be cautious of partnerships. I think starting a company, it's easier to give up equity than it is to pay sometimes when you're starting a company, because most young companies don't have capital just falling out of their pockets. So sometimes giving up equity is the way to go, but you have to be careful. The next one also relates to equity, but don't give away equity for services that you can buy. Don't give up equity, especially to lawyers. Nothing against lawyers, but... And the last one would be to recruit mentors. As much as you might think when you're young that you know everything, you actually don't. And there's no way to avoid making mistakes and failing along the way. That's actually good, the best way that we learn. But recruit mentors to help you avoid some of those big potholes that could derail your business early on.
Excellent pieces of advice. Thank you so much.
Really, really good, Frederick. Thank you so much. And thank you also for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you didn't sweat too much.
Noelle, I need to go shower now. But it's been a pleasure, you guys. I have a huge fan going right behind me to keep me cool. Just kidding.
Good. If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
Yes, and for the viewers at home, this was it for today, but do look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSI website.